I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech Talk underway on a cloudy Saturday. I think we're all waiting for it to rain. It did sprinkle a little bit, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. As Laura mentioned a moment ago, looks as though we may get some rain coming this week. We really do need it before the ground freezes up. That is for sure. Tech Talk, it means your calls, your texts. If you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, and it's easy to do, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. And you know, the news is just packed with tech stuff. We got Intel is not going to do a recall on the problem CPU chips. And people are really upset about that. I think they're making a mistake. There's just too many people that know that this is a vulnerability from the factory. And I'm not certain that this is a good idea for them.
All right, Doug, what is a vulnerability you speak of?
Well, they were programmed with code that makes them overheat. And for a while, well, it's not us, it's the motherboard manufacturers. And the motherboard manufacturers went to work and said, no, it's the chip. And they determined, Intel's admitted that it's, and they can't update the code apparently, and they're not going to recall them. And people spent these were expensive chips. These were the family 13 and 14 and the high-end gamer chips. So, yeah, they got a lot of people upset. I think they're making a mistake.
Yeah, and Doug, you mentioned there's a lot of tech news. One of the things that came up during the newscast just a moment ago is the amount of disinformation, whatever you want to call it, on social media. And I think we all need to be reminded that just about everything you read on social media, number one, you need to consider the source. And I think, you know, they have a big job here, because the thing about social media is everybody has open access and anybody can post anything they want out there. Mm-hmm. But once again, it gets back to the single, simple concept, consider the source. So when I'm on social media, and I do use it as a tool, I think it's like anything else we do online, it is a tool. But I think people need to be leery that you can't take everything hook, line, and sinker. And it goes beyond news. It goes beyond information. It's offers, and we talk about that. I think you need to have your antenna up, your radar on, whatever. And once again, be very, very careful before you take something as being, this is the absolute truth, or this is really a good deal, I'm going to give them my credit card. I mean, the list is endless. You have to tread very lightly, because in a lot of ways, Doug, it's still the Wild West.
Oh, you got to verify, and verify. And I think that this is part of the problem that I have actually had with the internet, is the fact that qualified journalists aren't really getting as much attention as they should. And if you read something that even just feels a little bit off, or if it's just completely ridiculous, for goodness sake, see if you can find 3, 4, 5 other places, other sources that say the exact same thing. So, like you said, anybody can get on the internet and post a feeling, post an idea, post a thought. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it correct. You got to verify. And especially with something where they're asking you for money. And it's way too important. I'm not certain how they're monitoring it, but my understanding is Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and they're doing their best to filter this and to at least come back up with some objections as to, oh, that's a ridiculous statement. We hope. But at the same time, let's not be so gullible. We just got to just use our heads and a little common sense, and I think we'll all get through this just fine.
By the way, the phone number on the program, if you want to join us, it is the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, and that number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, if you want to join the program today. And, Doug, let's get started on the text line. Is cell phone transmitting service available from Starlink satellites? It's been rumored that they will be able to take, you'll be able to send and receive calls eventually on the Starlink network. I'm not aware of that being up and running yet.
No, I don't think it's available yet, but they have started selling the Linux phones from Pine for $100. I'm tempted to get one just to see if I can connect it to another carrier. I think you can. But as far as the actual mobile link going through the satellites, it's not available yet. And I'm also looking forward to that. I want to make sure that it runs good and doesn't have any problem with weather. And I think it's going to be a real game changer for this country. And I'm glad to see it happen. But $100 phone? That's exceptional.
You know, the thing about it is, though, is if you use, like, voice over internet protocol, then in that way it would. But using your smartphone on that network, I would assume, you know, that in some way, shape, or form, people have played around with that. But purely just standing out somewhere and using their satellites to take and receive a call, probably not available. But I know they continue to launch satellites that will have that capability. And once again, I just want to quickly explain, and I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of journalists that cover space flight for a living, and since day one, Starlink has been a means to fund the programs of SpaceX. So they use SpaceX rockets to launch these satellites, and they want people to sign up. But ultimately, those dollars from that, not only are they going to build the network and keep the network up and running and those thousands of satellite in low Earth orbit, but they're also going to use the proceeds from that to fund missions to the moon and then beyond that to Mars. So it's all kind of tied together. All the way back to SpaceX and the goals of founder Elon Musk to eventually put humans on Mars and colonize Mars.
Oh, that's exactly correct, and it's exciting. I think it's exciting. We gotta take this next step into the frontier that we've never been. We really do have to do this. It's just mind boggling what this gentleman, Mr. Musk, how he operates. I can hardly keep up with just reading it about what he's up to. You know, the release of his RV for $17,000. What? That just came out. Electric motorcycle he released in the last, I think, 10 days. That's coming out. Yeah, he's on the move. And it's the money that he generates. You're right. He's putting a ton of money into Starlink and SpaceX. But that's his life goal. So, yeah, stand back and watch. There's never a dull moment when Elon Musk is involved. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and there's also a reminder that a lot of what has been done at SpaceX is related to government contracts funded by the United States government. So I don't think we should lose sight of that public dollars are flowing into these projects and funding these programs to develop Falcon 9 and beyond that Starship. So far, his company has received billions of dollars in public money to develop these systems. So so we need to keep that in mind. It's not out of the goodness of his heart, ultimately, to make a profit.
I'm not certain how that all works, but I would think that there would come a point where that would become public domain for the U.S. I'm spitballing here, but that would seem to be a reasonable outcome. It's a real complex system, and you know, he did some things that that NASA couldn't do for the same amount of money and that kind of thing. So it put him in their good graces. But I agree. I think somebody should be keeping an eye and keeping track of the tab.
Well,
I agree.
They have certainly let up Boeing, who was also supposed to build a capsule that would send astronauts to and from the International Space Station. And Boeing even got more money up front to develop that program. SpaceX did it faster, did it cheaper, and is doing a better job. So it's hard to argue with the quality of their work. But I just don't want people to lose sight of the fact that, once again, all of us, the taxpayers of the United States and our government, is funding a lot of that party. It is.
Yeah, wasn't done philanthropically. That's for sure.
Well, absolutely. It is about making money ultimately. By the way, phone lines are open 651-461-9226, and you can send a text or you can call the studio and visit with producer Jonathan Lowe. When we come back, we'll talk about a brand new laptop somebody bought that is exciting. We will talk about Outlook and much, much more here on Tech Talk on a Saturday. Doug Swinhart is in here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Tech Talk. We're on the air Saturdays from 3 to 4, sports schedules permitting. And by the way, available anytime at WCCRadio.com. Download the podcast. We are sure you will learn something from all those podcasts. Just go to the website and search for WCCO Tech Talk. We've been doing it for years, and we certainly do enjoy hearing from folks on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Hey, Doug, here's a good one from our text line. That circle of white dots won't stop spinning when I shut down. I have to do a cold shutdown, as in pulling the plug. What could be going on?
Sounds like an update loop to me. That'd be the first thing I would check, is to see if updates are actually completing. The last time I saw that, the user had some issue and then went back and used an image, a saved image, to correct it. Well, that threw off the updates, and this was the end result. And that machine had to be, Windows had to be completely reinstalled from the ground up. And that's not that big a deal if you know what you're doing. And if you don't, you should. But that sounds like an update thing to me. I would try Pervasor first to see if it can catch it and clean it. But after that, I think you're looking at a fresh install.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit more about Pervasor and why people should have it on their Windows machine.
Well, this is a prime example here. It's going to go in and it's going to clean out all the temp files, the shell bags, stuff that people have never heard about. And it's very possible that it will actually reset whatever update that was wrong or half down and can't finish. When they're checking their updates, I would also check to see that only Microsoft is providing that. They're not getting their updates from anybody with a PC that happens to have the update, whether they're living in Arkansas or anywhere else for that matter. I disagree with that setting that Microsoft put in for the updates. That, well, and they say, well, we want everybody to get their updates when they want them, and there just isn't enough resources available. Well, that's really what you should be there for. That's my opinion. So that was keep an eye on that, too. Make sure that that's shut off. But somewhere along the line, you're going to probably have to uninstall or mark an update to undo it and then let it come in again. That's probably going to be the fix. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and Doug, is it really a bad thing to kind of go into that abrupt cold shutdown by pulling the plug?
With Microsoft Windows, it's not the healthiest. Yeah, with a Linux system or a Chromebook, it wouldn't hurt a thing. Or a Mac, they're not susceptible to the big vulnerabilities either. But with Windows, especially if you've got an update loop going on, that can be critical. There could be a day where he pulls the plug and the next day he goes to turn it on and all he gets is a blue screen, not even a message what the error is. So it's important that that get taken care of.
First thing you want to do, I think, in any situation where you have an anomaly, if you will, or things are acting, that is a sign to me that you need to get your data backed up. You should be doing it, but when you get something going on like that, you want to get a copy of your data backed up somewhere, preferably two copies, and then move forward with a potential fix.
No doubt. You know, with computers, we always tell people, don't get excited, just relax and take it easy. This is an instance where you need to get excited. You should be in a panic mode for your data when something like this is happening, and you can recreate it every time you shut down. Yeah, I would be in a panic mode. The first thing I'd be doing is looking for an external hard drive, another place in the cloud to save my data, and I'd make that happen in the next couple hours. Once that's there, now you can sit back and relax. If you got to reinstall Windows, so be it. But this is one area where, this is a critical issue, no question about it. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, any of those anomalies or something acting weird, that should be the trigger. When did I do my last backup? That is very important indeed.
No doubt.
Doug, here's another one from our text line today. How do I move save files and folders from my email provider to my Outlook or the cloud? How do I do a backup out of my email, if you will?
Yeah, I found the easiest method to do that is to download and install Thunderbird. It's a product from Mozilla, same people that made Firefox. And then go in and you can set up your email using the exact same configuration that you're getting. It's probably web-based. But at that point, you can put several emails inside of Thunderbird and just copy from one folder to another. That's probably the simplest. Keep in mind, if your mail is web-based, your email is stored on the mail server, and most internet service providers have a much less speed when you are sending data up to the internet than you get a much faster bandwidth rate with downloads. So sometimes with something like this, if you're doing that much at once, it might take a while. But today, computers, most of them are so beefy that it could run in the background all day and you wouldn't even notice it. So that's a good thing. But just be aware that, well, Xfinity, for example, I've got a gigabyte feed that's 1,200 megabits per second download stream and 30 to 40 megabits upstream, 1,240. And that's pretty common. So when you're sending your mail, you're copying from one folder to another, but you're working with two online mail servers if it's web-based, and your email absolutely should be web-based. And that way you can actually pull it over and do it. Now, if you want that to continue, you're going to set up what's called a filter. And once that email comes in, it's going to automatically send it to the next account as soon as it hits. So that's a good thing, too. There's things that you can do to automate this. Big thing is if you're like me and you got 25 years underneath your Gmail account and you want to copy it to someplace else, it's probably going to take a while. And that's no big deal. Do some research on Thunderbird and just put in Thunderbird space or Mozilla Thunderbird in Google, and it'll pop right up. and you can download it for free. It's not open source software, but it's close. Mozilla has put this out many, many years ago. It's a great, great email client. And that would be my advice.
All right, Doug, from our text line, I've never heard anyone ask this, so bravo for coming up with something brand new. Is there a way to make my landline phone capable of receiving text messages and then in some way, shape, or form getting that text message forwarded to my email? I've never heard of anything like that because landlines have gone the way of dinosaurs.
Yeah, the only way that I know to do that is if you have Google Voice. Google Voice is, as you know, a service from Google, and it used to be free. I think now if you have a Gmail account and you're a private individual, it's still free. But you will get a separate telephone number, and if you want to use your phone, then you'd have to actually forward it. I'm not sure if it will forward texts or not, but that would be the only way that I know of that you could get it from your computer to the phone or vice versa. Check out Google Voice. They are doing a lot of work with that, and they've made some extra restrictions. It used to be free no matter where you were in the world. That's all changed over the last several years. So keep an eye on that, but that might be doable. I won't guarantee it at this point. Like you say, and the phone services have been evolving quite rapidly lately too out of security concerns. So it's that's a push. We really have to work on that to make that happen or to be before we could commit to an answer and say, this is what you do. Yeah. It's still very uncertain.
Yeah, and in the landline, we still have one. It's part of our CenturyLink deal. We have DSL here at the house and have for years, and we still have our landline, but as I pointed out, those are really going the way of the dinosaur. Not many people are hanging on to those landlines.
Boy, I think it's a good idea to have one. I'm thinking about getting one back. But if you call CenturyLink today and you tell them you want them to come back and put a landline in, you got a two-month wait. If anything ever happened there where we had some type of disaster across this country, those people at landlines, that's going to be probably the only communication that's available. It could happen. I hate to see it, but that's – and our internet, people have noticed this too. I believe our internet backbone is way overtaxed. Everything's slowing down the last several months. And I'm hoping that gets improved. But there's just so many people using it every second of every day that it's I think it's overtaxed.
Yeah, and Doug, we still don't know. We can't predict the future, but we have seen major outages. There was an incident not that long ago, I believe, impacting the Verizon network. And I know all the networks, T-Mobile and AT&T, have had their problems, et cetera. I'm not necessarily picking on them, but people who had Verizon, you know, they had all sorts of trouble for a day. So even though we expect this stuff to have 100% uptime, it can go down, and let's face it, there are bad guys around the world that would love to harm network services, etc. We just don't know what the future holds on that front.
Well, exactly. And even T-Mobile, when they were taking over the accounts for AT&T, they had some difficulty, and they got hacked a couple of places. And of course, you know, Mint was a part of that cellular network and the phone company. And it was surprising to people that it happened at all. And you got to remember that everything today is becoming more and more complex with all kinds of different levels. And no matter what, it's all been built by humans. And we have a tendency from time to time of making a mistake. And it's more vulnerable than people realize. And I'm glad you brought that up, too. Verizon was one of the most recent ones. I think AT&T, not too long before, had some huge breach that we didn't hear about until it was over. They are vulnerable. It's not a perfect science, no matter where you are in technology today. Just try to be aware. In fact, I'm thinking about getting a generator in case electricity ever goes out. And they're coming down in price to where they're actually affordable these days. So, yeah, it's It's difficult to know what's going to happen. I wish we had a crystal ball, Steve. We would make a lot of money.
3:33, quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk. And if you want to visit with Doug, you can do so on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. Computers, hardware, software, we'd love to visit with you once again here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart joining us. Jonathan Lowe is our producer today. Josh Wheeler has the day off. And it sounds like Josh is moving permanently to Sunday mornings. I don't know how many more shows we have with Josh. By the way, college football final later on. Jonathan Lowe is going to be handling a good chunk of the scoreboards for us later today on the program. By the way, our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And let's jump back to that text line. It's been very busy today. Doug, someone bought a new laptop, but it doesn't allow me to install certain apps. Now, the question is, how do you jailbreak that or make it accept or install those new apps?
I think what he's probably talking about is it points him only to the Microsoft store to get whatever software he wants. You can bypass that pretty easy. There's a couple ways to do it. If you open up your browser, you can go in and set that to developer mode. But the next time that it comes up and says, nope, that's not safe software, nope, 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 and it directs you to the Microsoft store, there's also a little line down the corner that says you can check for more information here. You can turn it off there and also underneath your settings. But that's what you're looking for. You want to be able to put this thing in a developer mode, and it sounds like you're opening up your computer for security issues, and you're not. You're just kind of bypassing some of the lockdowns that Microsoft feels is important. It's not, Microsoft Windows is not like a new operating system on a Mac. You should be able to download and install whatever software you want that is PC compatible. I think that stuff like this is going to harm these companies when they become too controlling. Once people figure out that this is nothing more than just invasiveness, I mean, you bought the computer, you own it.
Yeah.
And it came with Microsoft Windows. Well, that's you should be able to do whatever you want with that piece of machinery. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and Doug, on the flip side of that, people should be wary of all the apps that are available, whether you have a Chromebook or a smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android or on your computer. Not all these apps are created equal. There is a potential for scammers. Obviously, reputable companies that you do business with and you get a hold of their app. But, you know, once again, not all apps, if they're available in your provider's app store, means they're 100% safe.
Oh, what a wonderful addition to this discussion. That really needs to be said. Yeah, Google doesn't have time to check all these developers out. Now, if they get word that something is bad, sure, they're going to check it out. Sure. And if the guy is bad, they're going to let people know. But how many people could download? Well, it was like that flashlight app that was exporting people's contact lists and passwords, and as soon as you turned on the flashlight on a smartphone. It was ridiculous, but that individual probably will never be able to post another app, and that's the way it should be. But for goodness sake, yeah, these apps, when I'm downloading a new app that I want for my iPhone or an Android, the first thing I do is I go in and I take a look at the reviews, and not all of those are legitimate today either. You got to kind of sort through with a fine-tooth comb and pick and choose. But if an app has got 5 years history, and say 80 to 85% of the people are pleased with it, even if there's a slight problem. Because they're in development as well. Nothing stays the same on the internet or computers. So, but if that, take a look at that. Listen to our fellow citizens as to what's been your experience. Today, if something is riddled with viruses or malware, somebody catches it usually within a week. And they're going to jump right on, and they'll call Apple, they'll call Google, they'll get on the email and put this out in the news groups. Word spreads quite quickly today, which is a good thing. But yeah, you're right. We have to be a little more cautious what we're putting on our smartphones, especially. And just common sense. Slow down. If it's a good deal today, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. And check out some alternatives. That was a wonderful addition to that, Steve. Thank you.
All right, let's jump to the phone lines. Let's bring in Ray in Brooklyn Park. Ray, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Steve. You guys are our favorite Saturday afternoon radio duo.
Oh, thank you.
We got rid of our DirecTV antenna up on the roof, and we're doing over-the-air with a powered RCA antenna that sits out near a window. But on occasion, we get pixelation and signals completely dropped. I'm just wondering if there's a reasonable way to stream over the internet instead of using over the air.
Oh, my. I don't even have it over the air. That's all I got is internet. If you got internet and you've got a decent speed, and you don't have to have the highest speed, but there's more TV available on the internet than you can shake a stick at. Seriously, and it's not all paid for either. Yeah, there's been a lot of innovations for what are called the cable cutters. And this has been out a while, but I got to warn you, too. It's not like it was 5 or 6 years ago. The party's kind of over. These pay channels now, like Netflix and Paramount and Disney and all them, I think the next innovation that they're going to come out with is you can't just buy it a month or two at a time and watch all their shows and then cancel it. I think they're going to want a year commitment. I really think that's next. So it's not going to be free, but you will have much more TV for a whole lot less than DirecTV or connecting to Xfinity. And I don't want to badmouth either one of them because they have their place. But you've already made that decision. So by all means, and if you want to call me next week, I'll try to explain to you how to get it via computer or on your TV. You should be able to do it both. And Tubi, 24 hours a day, movies. Thousands and thousands of movies and series, things you get on TV. I get every channel, 4, 5, 9, 11. It's not always easy to navigate, but once you get it figured out and get everything set up, it's just like watching TV on cable or a DirecTV. And generally, it's crystal clear with no interruption. So, right. Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah, it's very doable with your internet. A little bit about over the air. And this goes back to the old days when that was the only way we got TV, if you had an over-the-air antenna, either rabbit ears on the set or an antenna on the roof. Now, in Monticello, you're a little bit further away from the main transmitting sites for the local television stations in the Twin City. They transmit off the three big towers along 694 in Shoreview. And in Monticello, you'd have proximity to the TV up in St. Cloud. What you probably need to do in Monticello, if you want to up your game when it comes to over-the-air antenna, is put something on the roof. They're not gigantic like the old days where they look like some sort of aluminum bird sitting on the roof. I have a small little screen sitting on my roof. Now, granted, I live in Champlin, quite a bit closer to Shoreview than Monticello, but I get excellent over the air, but I have an antenna on the roof. Just like the old days. When my mom and dad moved to Champlin in 1973, we had an antenna on the roof that we got our television for the house. That's how everybody got it. This was before cable, before the internet, before streaming services. So it is doable. And there are still companies that will come out and put an antenna on your roof and get it set up in the house. And if you hire a pro, And they'll probably get it done for a couple $100. It isn't a ton of money. You will get excellent, free, over-the-air, crystal-clear television. And now all the local channels, for instance, right now, Channel 4, they'll have 4 or 5 sub-channels where you get additional programming. So on that over-the-air antenna, you're going to get a lot of stuff for free just for the investment in a quality over-the-air antenna. And I'll tell you what, I use this most of the time. Watch the news, watch sporting events, etc. Now, anything available on any of the networks like ESPN, you're going to need a streaming service. But if you just want CBS and NBC and ABC and local Fox and the news and that sort of stuff, a good over-the-air antenna within 60, 70 miles of Shoreview, you should be in good shape. You should get a very good signal.
Oh, I agree. And I always meant to add an antenna to my place, just haven't got around to it.
Yeah.
And it's on my list. And they are actually transmitting high def. So your picture should be good. Now, I would also say that if you've already tried to position your antenna and that didn't do it, and you've checked your cables to make sure that you've got good connectivity, yet you might even want to consider adding a preamp. And there's things that you can do between that on-the-roof antenna that you might not be able to do with an in-house antenna. One thing I would mention as well is when you look at antennas, there's a plethora of them available, and you're going to see stuff like, oh, here's a high-def antenna. There's no such thing. An antenna is an antenna. Just be aware of that. That's not to say that they're all created equal. But what you do with a little bit of research, you can get them not that large, get them up on top of your roof or in the crook of a peak, and they work great.
Yeah,
that technology, I think, has much improved since I was a kid. And it's up here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, you should be able to get crystal clear TV, even in bad weather.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Once again, I think one of those ones you buy off the shelf at the store that are an indoor antenna, it's going to be pretty tough for Monticello, bottom line. If you're within 10, 15 miles of Shoreview, probably better luck. You might need an outdoor antenna to sum that up. Quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk in a moment. Once again, Doug Swinhart in. We have all the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then we'll get you up to date on all the sports headlines. The Lynx and Liberty play Game 5 of the WNBA Finals tomorrow night. Winner take all Game 5. That and much more here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug. Saturdays between 3 and 4. And by the way, if you missed something on the program today, we invite you to check out our podcasts. They are available online, WCCORadio.com. Just simply search WCCO at Tech Talk, and you'll have all our programs there. And they've been archived for a long time. And tell your friends, download those, enjoy those podcasts anytime here on Tech Talk. Doug, someone followed up. I've got Prevazor running now. Secure cleanup going on. Once again, if you have a Windows machine, we can't stress enough how good a program Prevazor is.
Oh, no question. I'm glad to hear that they jumped in, took a look, and went, oh, yeah, this is cool, and play with it a while. Get to know this program. It's easy to operate. You just got to navigate around and take a look and get it set up properly. Get this thing set up so you can tell it to run by itself once a week and shut the computer off when it's done. Have it set up for Sunday night when you're watching TV. And come in the Monday morning and you're all set to go. It's nice and fresh and clean and rocking and rolling. I can't say enough good things about Prevazor. And over the years, it's just gotten better. And the way that it restructures data on a hard drive, whether it's an SSD drive or a spinner, a regular old rotary drive, it just does a tremendous job of taking care of that hardware. Big thing is that it goes deep, and it cleans a ton of stuff in Windows. And they're always available for the next version of Windows. They're doing a great job. We can't push this enough, Steve. Privazer.com.
Privazer. It is a good one. Bob couldn't hang on during the break. Bob from Monticello. He wanted to remove information from his address book. Cleaning up an address book, for instance, on a smartphone, if I have idle time in a waiting room or I'm sitting around and waiting for maybe my daughter to come out of the store and I'm sitting in the car, I'll kind of go through and clean that up. Is there another way to do that? Or an address book, is there a more automated way to clean that up?
Well, you know, this is the thing. There isn't a whole lot of programs that will automatically clean people's data. They just won't touch it because they can't anticipate what people want. So it's a manual function. Just sit down and go towards it. I would prefer to be sitting at a computer with a larger screen and do it that way. And have it web-based, so no matter how many devices you have, whatever change you make, it will just flow through because, well, it's all coming from a website. And that, again, we're going to say it one more time. No matter what you have for your address book or contact list, make sure you got at least 3 copies. It's that simple. But you shouldn't have an address book separate on your PC and another one separate on your smartphone and another one separate at work. And perhaps somebody's got a little gaming machine. Yeah, you want them combined. You want to be able to organize this stuff one place. And if you got an Apple machine, it should be iCloud. If you got a PC, I would highly suggest that you be taking a look at Google and Gmail. Their contact list is wonderful to work with. And, of course, Microsoft's got their product as well. There is a plethora of services out there that will give you this for free. But you want to be doing business with somebody that you know and trust.
Yep.
Yeah, and have it so it's synchronized. This is one area where you're going to want to learn about syncing right away. And you'll be amazed at how simple it really is.
Next week, we've got to make sure we spend time on VPNs. Once again, we're not going to have time now. Is my family vulnerable if I'm not connected to a VPN? We will get into that next week. It's not necessary, but it's worth considering. And Doug, let's just make a note and come out of the gate and talk about VPNs next week on the program.
Perfect.
All right.
Will do.
And I know Doug's a big believer in VPN. And has played around with it for a long time. All right, Doug, quickly, phone number and email.
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543, admin@wccotech.com, admin@wccotech.com, 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve. Have a good balance of your weekend.
Yeah, have a good weekend. We'll do it again next week here on Tech Talk. Saturdays 3 to 4 here on the CCO.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.